I went into this conversation ready to hand over my money, hire them on the spot, and dive right into working together. But I left that sales call confident that I would never work with them. Here's why, and what's possibly keeping you from closing more ideal dream clients. Welcome to the Freedom Found Podcast, the podcast for copywriters and marketers with unruly, against the grain life goals. I'm Crystal Church, copywriter and coach, and together we'll delve deep into everything it takes to grow a profitable, scalable, and fulfilling business from the ground up. Whether you're just starting out or about to hit your next big milestone, I'm bringing you the truth on both the trending and the timeless business growth strategies so you can live out a freedom first, impactful life. Welcome to our community. Hello, and welcome back to the Freedom Found Podcast, where today we are tackling a topic that can make or break your success in business. Yet, so many copywriters shy away from this: mastering your sales calls. If you have ever hung up from a sales call feeling unsure of where the prospect stood, or perhaps you felt like, oh, they are a shoe-in yes, but over the following week, you watched a promising lead fizzle out, then this episode is tailor-made for you. We are going to unlock the secrets to boosting your close rates, making every call a step closer to your next big revenue goal. So first, to dig into this, I want to give you some context because this topic has come to me off the back of an experience that I had yesterday. So I'm going to tell you a story. I got on a sales call with someone that I was 90% sure I was gonna buy from yesterday. 90% sure. So sure, let me say, that I have been talking to Dale about it for the past couple of weeks, being like, okay, let me give you the full rundown. This is who they are, what they do, yada, yada, yada. I'm going into this, ready to hire them, make this investment. And we've had multiple discussions about it. It felt really fucking good. I just had all of this anticipation building up to this moment where I was going to get to sit down, talk to them, and just close it and lock it down. Because I'm the type of person who, once I make a decision and I want to do something, whether that's hiring somebody or deploying a new strategy, I just want to get the floodgates open and allow that to be deployed and out working in the world. So I was very much looking forward to this sales call. And what I think is interesting about this experience, of any time that we make investments in our own business, this is an incredible learning opportunity for us to remember what it's like for our prospects, our leads, to be going through our customer journey, right? To be in their shoes and thinking, oh, this might be how my prospects feel before a sales call, or how they feel in the DMs or in an email, right? Conversation that you're having. So I always love to use these as opportunities for me to improve my own customer and client experience even before our prospects and our leads sign with us. How can we improve their experience, their journey, support them better in this decision-making process? And of course, carry that through on the other side. As I sat down for the sales call, I waited. I was in the Zoom room just on my own, well, waiting to get inside of it on my own, watching the time. And let me just say, there were several core mistakes that were made on this call. And I'm not here to call anybody specifically out. I'm here to use this as a learning opportunity for all of us. So for context for this call, I'll fill you in. The quick overview is I was getting on a sales call with somebody from a team doing specialist podcast production and support. This is very niched in terms of a service, but almost consulting in the fact that they help you do some of the elements within your own team and business yourself. Now, up until this point, I had consumed a lot of their content, really figured out what it is that they did and made sure that it was aligned with the type of support that we were looking for with the podcast. And going into this call, I felt I really already knew them. And I, not even the person I was talking to, that was just a sales representative from their team, but I feel like I knew them as a brand, as a team, and their philosophy, ethos, what they stand for, and the kind of work and the caliber of work that they do. And you know me, I'm all about high quality work and working with high quality teams and those specialists that can really support us in a specific area. So I have gone into this call consuming a ton of content. And I say this to you now because I think a lot of people think that if somebody's booked a call, it's a shoe-in. It is not. Your content can only do so much of the lifting. And that's true. Even in this case, when I got on this call, I was already 90% sure I was going to buy from them because their content got me to 90%, which is amazing. Right? From their own podcast to social to emails, that got me to 90%. So how did one 30-minute call change that 90% into a 0%? Why didn't it take me from 90 to 100? Okay, here's what happened. First of all, we know she was late to the call. That's not specifically a deal breaker in and of itself, but in combination with several other things that we're going to get into, it creates an experience for your customer. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting. She must have been about 5 minutes late to the call and then hopped on the call, very kind of disheveled, out of breath, kind of looked like she had just ran in, logged onto Zoom. Her hair was a mess. She was just catching her breath, literally catching her breath, and was like, oh my goodness, hi, oh, so sorry I'm late. And it really felt from that moment like she wasn't prepared for the call. And then everything that happened afterward confirmed that she wasn't prepared for the call. So if you are showing up to your calls late, first of all, let's change that. Second of all, if you're showing up to your calls super casual, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. And you absolutely can be yourself. We're many of us working from home, but it's simply a missed opportunity. Imagine when you show up to a call professionally, and I don't mean you need to be wearing a blazer. I just mean show up to a call put together in your mind, in your appearance, in your timeliness, and ready to serve the person who is there, ready to engage with them and be 100% there with them during that time together. This is going to make a huge difference. Even if you showing up in your sweatshirt and messy hair isn't necessarily seeming like it is deterring people, and it might not be on the surface, but below the surface, it can send these signals to the other person that, oh, hey, this is just a casual chat. They're not taking this too seriously. We want somebody to know that they are our VIP client, no matter who they are. Every person that we talk to, we want them to feel like they are our number one, right? Before they're a client with us, and then after they sign, they are our most important person. So how can we continue to bring that thread through the entire customer journey? And it starts right here with being professional on the call. That's how we're going to just lay a foundation. Now then, carrying on with a lack of professionalism here, and I share all of this with you not to gripe or point somebody out, but to let you have a moment of reflection on how you are entertaining sales calls and how you're moving through them, and consider how we can improve them to improve your close rates. She started by asking me several very basic questions like, do I have a podcast or do I want to start one? Okay, first of all, let me just say here, I had to fill out a very extensive application form in order to even get on this call with her. And all of that I had to detail in the form itself. And I spent time and took the care and intention to fill out each one of the questions that they asked so that our call could be most helpful together. If you are having people fill out a form, read it. Only ask questions that you actually need to know before getting on the call with somebody. Allow this to be an opportunity for you to become an expert in their business before you get on the call. And this doesn't mean you need to spend a lot of time prepping before a call. But if right now you're spending all of 2 minutes prepping before getting on a call, it's a missed opportunity. Just take 5-10 minutes more, read through what you've asked of them, and that will give you context and allow you to build more rapport. So when you can get on the call and say to somebody, hey, I saw in your application that you're launching a new offer right now, or that you just wrapped up the first season of your show, or that you know, X, Y, or Z, that immediately makes me feel seen, right? If you're able to provide context to their life, that's relevancy. Now you've brought relevancy into the conversation, and that's going to build trust because I know that you are now semi-bought in to what I'm doing. You have some understanding of what I'm doing. And you're talking to me about it. So that was one thing. We probably spent 15 minutes with me having to re-answer the same questions that were in the form. And it wasn't clarifying questions. It was literally just sharing the basic information with her. So one of the things we can take from this is, how do these experiences make our prospects feel? For me on this call, it made me feel like another number. I did not feel like she specifically cared about me, my podcast, or my business, right? And this is a very big investment that we're considering, excited to make. Like, I was actually jumping on this call ready to buy from her, being like, yes, finally, so excited for this call. Let's do this. And then to get on a call where somebody made it very clear that they were not invested in my business when it's a business investment in them to help us, was just a bit of a letdown and disappointing. Because if this is what it's like now, if this is a level of attention to detail and care that has gone into this conversation, why would I have any reason to believe that the service inside of the offer would be any different, right? So these are the clues that your prospect is picking up on during the call. So what positive clues can you give them? I'm going to flip this around. What positive clues can you give them on the call to let them know that you have attention to detail, that you are professional, that you are dedicated, and you truly care about their business and helping them achieve whatever it is that they are after? Now, mistake number three that was made on this call is, I think, the number one mistake I see copywriters making, and I'm going to get into this even further in a little bit because this just deserves a platform of its own, but there was no structure to the call. It was a weaving, random conversation. And I think after years of experience working with copywriters, other online service-based businesses, and seeing how people are both doing their sales calls from my perspective as a prospect to them, but also my perspective as a coach getting in the weeds, even this last week, I audited several sales calls of one of my coaching clients and really got in the weeds and helped her flesh out the strategy for her calls so that they can convert higher. And what I have seen from doing this over and over is that there's been a misunderstanding about what a discovery call is. And many people are going into a discovery call thinking it's a friendly chat. Oh, tell me a bit about your business. Okay, cool. What kind of help would you like? Oh, do you want, you know, this many of that or this many of this, this many emails? Very unstructured, very much lacking purpose, direction, a journey throughout the sales process, and lacking the concept that it is a sales call to begin with, right? So that is the number one biggest piece here. If right now you have no structure to your call, and by structure, I mean you should be getting on the call, setting an agenda, but it can be casual and it can be fun. Like, we have super fun sales calls over here, but we set an agenda and we say, hey, we want to use this time together really freaking well. So this is what I'm thinking. I read this on your form, or I know we talked in the DMs about X, Y, or Z. Let's dig into this. Let's diagnose what the problems are, give you a strategy that you can walk away with either way. And then if it's a good fit and you want to learn more about working together or what X, Y, or Z process is like, then we can get into that more. Does that sound good? And then we literally take them through this process. And the process is what gives both structure to the call, but relevancy to the offer that you're going to make at the end. Because then you're not just talking about randomness, but you are talking about what is related to the current problem they have, which is why they're on the call with you. Like, I was on a call with this podcasting team because I have big goals for the podcast. So I wanted to get on a call and say, okay, cool. I can't do all of this on my own. How can you help me achieve some of this? Right? That means we need to start with, okay, what are the problems, the challenges, the goals, and then move into that journey. How do we make that come to fruition? And what's on the other side is a transformation, right? And this is what I was looking forward to most on the call. I have to be honest. I want to get on a sales call and I just want to sit back and relax. Like, I am here for the ride. Like, cool, you ask me questions, I will fill you in, like, walk me through your process. Like, what are your strategies that you're using? What's the next step? And I want to be sold to. Like, this isn't just about the pitch. This is about the experience of being on the call and going through the process together so that by the end of the call, I want to feel like I'm a 100% yes. And I know this isn't unique to me because I've had several copywriters get on sales calls with me and say, you know, I love sales calls. I just want to be sold to. I feel like I'm already in. Like, just let's do this. And this is a huge opportunity for us to be able to then say, okay, great. Let's make the most of what we know is a sales conversation. Let's dig into the strategy, how we can help you, and what's on the other side of that. So I was really looking forward to having some sort of structure to the call, especially because they actually advertised the call as, yes, it's a sales call, but we're going to walk you through the strategy that if we work together, that we will then deploy with you. So I was going into it being like, okay, I'm going to get more context on how they would help me achieve the goals that I have set out in front of the podcast for this next year. And so if you're advertising something as a strategy call, but you're not giving any strategy or you're not doing what you're promising, it's the same thing as having a lead magnet that then takes somebody into an email sequence about something completely different, where there's no continuity for the lead from one point in the funnel to the next, to the next. So she really just, I wouldn't even actually say she walked me through a weaving conversation. It was just a weaving conversation. And I was sort of feeling like I was waiting for the call to start. We were like 20 minutes in and I was still waiting for us to do something, waiting for the call to start, thinking to myself, what are we talking about? Because we're kind of jumping from here to here, random questions about the business, the podcast, and it just didn't have any continuity and it wasn't really specific to what the service was. So the final mistake that she made then was after this weaving random conversation, there was no pitch or close or next steps. And I wanted to be sold to. I wanted to know, okay, cool, this is a process. This is your challenge or your goal. And this is how we take you from challenge to goal achieved. And here's how to work with us. Here's the clear next step. Here's a path. This is how you get started. And there was nothing like that. It was more like, cool, if at some point you want to work with us, just send us an email. And as copywriters, you and I know that a clear call to action and next steps is essential in any type of funnel and conversion environment. So on your sales call, if you do not have a very clear next step and a reason for somebody to take an action, that could be urgency, scarcity, et cetera, then what are we doing? We're just creating an incubator for analysis paralysis or inaction. That's it. What we want to do instead is cultivate an experience on sales calls. So increase your close call rate by elevating the experience within the call itself. And I'm going to give you some tips here. So taking this story as example, I want you to start to think about your ideal client's experience coming into sales calls with you. And I'm going to give you five core elements that you need to have a high converting sales call. And even if you already have calls that are converting at 50, 60, 80%, if you just deploy one more of these, you can see those rates increase. So let's get into it. Number one, building rapport early on. You know, before we dive into tactics, I want to talk about the foundation to any successful call, and that is trust, rapport, and the first few minutes of the call are crucial in doing this. Start by reading their intake form, researching your potential client, look at their Instagram, look at their LinkedIn, look at their website, wherever you can look at them. And then if relevant, only if relevant, mention something specific that you saw in the beginning of the call. Find some common ground and start to build rapport and a relationship then and there. And this not only shows that you're invested, but it also just personalizes the conversation from the get-go. Number two, understand your client's needs. So moving on from very quick rapport building, and I say quick because some people let this drag out for 5 or 10 minutes. This should be 5 minutes or less. 2 to 5 minutes is great. Build some quick rapport, say your hellos, and then set the agenda for the call. And the heart of any sales call lies in genuinely understanding your prospect's needs. This is not about pitching your services right away, but asking instead insightful questions that lead them to articulate their challenges and their goals. Your job then is to listen more than you talk. Reflect back what you hear to confirm their understanding, and then subtly introduce how your services can be the solution that they're seeking. That's a very simple structure that you can put into your sales calls. So we're first starting with that rapport building, then setting the agenda, then we're going into asking insightful questions. For me, I usually, and this can be tailored depending on the person, but usually go into asking them, okay, tell me a bit about your current business. I know X, Y, and Z from your intake form. Thank you so much for filling that out. Tell me a little bit more about this, whatever I need more context on. That's what I'm going to ask about. Now, great. Let's talk about goals. Why are we here today? What do you want to be achieving? Okay. What have you tried that hasn't worked? Why haven't you achieved that yet? Is essentially what I'm asking. That could be challenges or problems that they're currently facing. So I understand what is broken, what isn't working, and what can we fix together. And then I summarize it all and I make sure that I'm continually asking, did I understand that right? Is there anything else that we should add to this? And I'm taking notes during my call. If you're not taking notes during your sales call, that I personally think is a big mistake, because this is an opportunity for you to get extremely clear on your ideal client, both from a voice of customer perspective for your own messaging going forward in the future, but also so that you can continue to have record of where this person initially came to you, whether they signed today or they sign in 6 months and you get on another sales call with them, right? Then you can go back and you can reference this and say, oh, I know before we talked about X, Y, and Z. How did that go? Was that a success? Are you still working on that? So as you're doing this, you're also then confirming that you understand everything you need to about their business. This is going to really help them feel very seen and understood, and also help you get a very firm grasp on their business. It is a win-win. It shows the level of care and intention that you put into working with your clients, right? And remember, in this, you're really listening as much as possible and then just reiterating at the end of a question cycle, essentially. Then after all of that, you can go into services. Number three, positioning your services. And here is where so many copywriters get tripped up. Positioning your service is not about listing what you can do. It's not about saying, hey, I have X, Y, or Z service. Yeah, I could do your emails. I could do your funnel. I could do your website. Or let's say if you're somebody that has a program, it is not about sitting there and listing every single deliverable in your coaching program or in your membership or in your course. It is about painting a picture of the future with your client's problem solved. It's that transformational moment. People buy not because of the vehicle. They don't care what the deliverables are most of the time. That is one of the smallest questions I get. The biggest focus should always be on where they want to end up. That's the transformation on the other side. Essentially, we want to go back to our copywriter roots and highlight the benefits, not the features. So how does your copywriting service or your program or your scalable offer directly impact their revenue, their business, or their brand? Make it very clear. There should be no questions. By the end of this call, they should really, truly understand what it is you do and exactly how you would help them get to what they want. And number four, this is very, very overlooked. Handle objections gracefully. Objections are not roadblocks. They are opportunities to deepen understanding. In the beginning of my experience, I used to avoid doing any objection handling because I thought that meant I was selling to somebody who didn't want to buy something. What I've learned now through asking just really good questions is that most of the time people have objections because they actually don't fully understand something, or they need help with an area we've not discussed yet. Most of the time, objections are either self-limiting hesitations, which revolve around budget, timing, or a lack of clarity on the process or the results, or it's a miscommunication, thinking that something they wanted to be solved isn't actually in what you're offering. What I learned over the years is actually this is one of the most important parts of a call. It's not being afraid to ask and say, how are you feeling about X, Y, and Z? And really digging in and having an honest personal conversation together. And that is what allows you to open up the conversation for somebody to say, oh, well, I was expecting it to be, less in terms of budget, or I'm not sure if I have the time, and really then dig into that together specifically for them. This is something that takes time and practice, but it also just allows you to become more aware of your ideal client and their journey, and then create better messaging overall for what your offers are from within the sales call, yes, but especially greater messaging within the entire offers messaging. So if you've been shying away from handling objections on your calls, I'm going to encourage you on the next one to just ask one question at the end. And a great question would be, okay, so how do you feel about X, Y, or Z? Or I even love to ask, what percentage of a yes are you right now? And if somebody says I'm 80% or I'm 50%, then I can reply back and say, okay, great. What would make you 100%? What are you missing to get to that 100? And that gives me so much clarity, and it often gives them so much clarity, and they're realizing, what would I need to get to 100? And then you can have an honest conversation together from the same place. And this is what keeps you from avoiding the experience of thinking somebody's a yes on the call, even if they say, oh yeah, I think I'm almost in. You still don't have clarity on why they're not 100% in. Right? Why are they in almost? And you don't have clarity on if they are going to purchase, and they don't either. They're getting off the call either in their mind thinking, no, actually I'm not, I just don't want to tell you, or B, thinking, oh, I still don't know what my decision is. So by asking this question, both of you are getting clarity. And then step number five is closing with confidence. So don't shy away from the close, from actually giving a pitch and saying, you know what, after listening together with my professional expertise and opinion, I think that this would be the perfect container support option for you, and it would help you achieve your goals and propose a clear next step for them, whether that's sending a proposal, setting up a follow-up meeting, or just being direct about what comes next. And then always, always in the call on a positive note, expressing genuine excitement about the possibility of working together and letting them know, okay, I'm going to do this thing next, and when they can expect to hear from you again. And my goodness, the last thing, this wasn't even on my list, but I have to add it in here, is the follow-up. Do not be afraid of the follow-up. That is a great opportunity for prospects to ask you questions that came up after the call as they're considering the offer, and for you to touch base with somebody who might have just gotten busy in the weeds with life and business. Remember, improving your close rates is a mix of preparation, of empathy, and clarity in your communication. We want to structure these calls, and we want to bring people through a journey on them. Each one of these for you is a learning opportunity. So what I want you to do, I'm going to give you a challenge on your very next sales call. I did this with my client last week after I reviewed two of her calls in detail, 2.5 hours, went through in depth, created a new structure for her, and really pointed out what isn't working, why people are not converting the way she wants, and how to change that on her very next call. So what I want you to do is take this core information. I want you to take notes or listen again and say, okay, what are the cliff notes? I'll repeat it for you now. And I want you to, on your very next sales call, deploy this new strategy. So number one, build rapport early on. This is very quick, and then set the agenda. Number two, understand your client's needs. This is about reading their intake form, referencing it, asking insightful questions about their challenges and upcoming goals, then position your services, then handle objections gracefully, and then close with confidence. Those five steps. You can pause this and write those down in your phone notes and come back to this before your next call. Then let me know how it goes. DM me on Instagram at crystal.church and let me know as you iterate on this, because like I said, each call is a learning opportunity. So take note of what works and refine your approach continuously over time. This is a skill that can be developed. Even if you feel like, oh, I'm not a salesy person, Crystal, I'm just not. Let me tell you, I would have said the same thing 5 years ago to you when I was an elementary school teacher. Never done sales before in my life, was not something I was interested in. Now I love it because it's really not about sales. It's about relationships and it's about helping people. And whether or not at the end of the day I sign somebody or not, I love knowing that I got off the call and I helped somebody and I gave somebody clarity and strategy and whatever they needed to move forward. So I challenge you, go to your next sales call, ready to deploy structure and rapport building, and then send me a DM and let me know your thoughts. All right. I'll catch you on the next episode. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for being a part of this growing community. If you enjoyed listening to this free episode, the most impactful thing you can help us do is head over to leave a review or forward this episode to a copywriter or entrepreneur friend who you know would head nod along to today's conversation and use the key takeaways to create more growth in their own business. Thank you for your support, and catch you next time.